The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Today, I want to be discussing three mandates for the end time believer. Three mandates of the end time believer. We're going to be hanging our hat on Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 is where we're going to be hanging out today. All three of these mandates are found in the same chapter. So you're going to get your Bible reading in today. If you've not read your Bible yet, I'm going to read you Matthew 25 because we're going to go through this, and then I'm going to break down what these three mandates are. So let's get started on this. And then this is Matthew 25 reading from the New King James. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But the Lord shall answer and said, assuredly I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That is the first part of this. Now let me get to the second part. This is verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods unto them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents. Besides them, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said the same thing. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase this for sake of time. You can read this in Matthew 25. He said, I've gained 2 more talents. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over what is few. I'll make you ruler over many. But then you had received the 1 talent, came, said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, excuse me, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid, went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, and there you have what is yours. And the Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gathered where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with bankers at my coming, and I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given. And he who has an abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the second part. And now the third and final part before we elaborate a little bit more on this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and he will sit on the throne of his glory, all the nations shall be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will say to the sheep on his right hand, but to the goats on the left, Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For listen to this, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we do these things? And the Lord will say, I say unto you, as much as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. And then this last group of individuals comes to him, who are the goats on the left, and he will say, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me food. Thirsty, and you did not give me drink. Stranger, and you did not visit me or take me in. And I was in prison, and you did not come to see me. And he'll say unto them on the left, they will say, when was you like this? And he'll say, as inasmuch as you did not do this to the least of these, you did it unto me. Now listen to this. And verse 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into ever eternal life. Father, I just thank you for this word you've given me today. And I pray that you would anoint my lips and anoint the words in which I speak today to go forth and quicken the hearts, the minds, and the spirits of those of the recipients, of those that are receiving this word. I thank you that it will not return void, but it will establish that in which it's sent forth to do. And it's in your name I pray, amen and amen. All right, guys. So these three mandates of every end time believer, I believe, is all here and laid out in Matthew chapter 25, and it's broke down in each one of these stories. You have the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, the parable of the talents, and then you have the illustration of the return of the Son of Man, who will lay out the nations of the world and judge them. And here's what I want to show you. I believe if we are going to survive in the end times, it is essential and imperative that we have three of these mandates operating in our lives individually. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Number one, in the first portion of this chapter of Matthew 25, the Lord distinctively talks about a bride in which he's coming back for. He's coming back for an awakened bride, an alert bride, a prayed up bride, an anointed bride, and a bride, come on, that is holy and without blemish, that is strengthened and that is filled with the Holy Spirit. They have oil that's running over. Their lamps are filled. Their wicks are trimmed. They are burning and they're ready to meet Jesus. Guys, if you think that we're going to call ourselves the bride of Christ and that we're just kind of getting by day by day, little by little, we're not in the word, we're not in his presence, we're not in the house of God, our oil has run dry, our lamps are empty, there's no fire burning anymore, we're relying on the ashes of yesterday, relying on the ashes of the last move of God we have, the last conference we were in, the last revival movement we were in, the last devotional word that we had, the last cell group meeting that we were in, the last Sunday service that we were in. Guys, I'm telling you, there's some folks that still has not fully recovered from the quarantine status that we were in. The quarantine state of 3 months where everybody was locked down, couldn't do nothing, couldn't go to services. Some people up in the far north are still like that. They're still been driven away from the house of God, locked in their homes, locked behind closed doors. And instead of stewarding the personal devotional flame and keeping their oil in their lamps and keeping their wicks trimmed, they have allowed their lamps to go completely dry. They're not looking for his return. And a lot of these folks are backslid. Listen, even in the parable, it says that all the virgins, the entire bride, was slumbered and sleeping as they were awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom. Again, you've heard me say, prophetically speaking, this really kind of implies that the closer we get to the return of the bridegroom or the Son of Man, that the majority of the church or his bride is going to be in this state of mind. They're going to be in this slumbered state, this lackadaisical, complacent, lukewarm state where they are, they're not burning for him. But then it's almost as if they see things happening on the horizon, uprisings, disasters happening, wars and commotions. They see the birth pangs, and all of a sudden their eyes open. This is what this is a picture of in Matthew 25. Their eyes start opening up to the signs and the times of his coming and that he is even near at the door. So then they quickly say, hey, I got to get oil in my lamp. The bridegroom is here. He's even at the door. He's knocking on the door. So then they, because they have waited to the last minute to put oil in their lamp and get their flame back, they're running off. Come on. They're trying to run to the house of God, run to the next conference, run to the next revival meeting, run to the next, come on, so-and-so's got to lay hands on me. So-and-so's got to give me an impartation. Why? Because they've not been stewarding their personal devotional flame. And listen what it says here. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. Three mandates today. Number one, it is essential if we are going to survive in these end days, in the time of the end, in the season which we're in. Guys, I personally believe that we have not seen nothing yet, and I believe that the what's coming ahead is going to pale in comparison. It's not going to pale. What we're in now is not going to pale in comparison to what's coming in the days ahead. And I'm telling you, it is essential for everyone under the sound of my voice to get oil in your lamp and get the wick trim and get your fire back in you. Come on, pray like never before. Get in your devotional like never before. Get in his presence like never before. If you've got a house of God that you can go into that are having services, get in it. Get in his presence. Get in the word. Keep the fire burning because you're going to need it in the dark days ahead. Don't wait like the parable tells you to try to rely on somebody else's oil, somebody else's fire, because friends, I'm telling you, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next week, and we may make it through the elections, whatever the case may be. We may make it through the fall seasons. We may make it into next year. Listen, it may be delayed 6 months. Listen, the Bible says, while the bridegroom delayed, we don't know how long he's going to delay, but in that time of delay, if we have this mindset that I've always got tomorrow, I've always got next week, then we could put ourselves in grave trouble. We could put ourselves in great distress. And actually, in my opinion, it's very terrifying when in the parable here, it says, afterward, the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said unto them, surely I say to you, I do not know you. And he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And all that is in context, watching for the Son of Man, keeping the oil in our lamps and the fire burning. So that's number one. Number two, we see here there's a parable of talents. And guys, you know what this means. Each one of us, under the sound of my voice today in this podcast, YouTube, Facebook, each one of us has been given talents, gifts, and responsibilities from the Lord. And we have a mandate to steward those gifts, those talents, and what he's called us to do. in this hour. So if you've been called to teach, you need to teach. If you've been called as, if you've been raised up to be a prophetic voice in your community, in your region, in your church, you need to prophesy. If you've been called to be an apostle, you need to do that. If you've been called to, maybe you're not called to be an apostle or a prophet or a teacher, maybe not even in the house of God, but you've been called to build an orphanage somewhere because your heart burns for orphans, then what are you waiting on? Well, brother, I'm afraid. I may not have the money. I may not have the time. I may not have the energy. I may not have the resources. Listen, guys, go back to the parable. Listen what he says here. There's two of the three received the talents from the Lord and put them into motion. They put them into fruition of what they were called to do. And when the Lord showed up, they said, Lord, look what we've done. We've used the gift that you've given us, and we've used it for your kingdom and for your glory. And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. I've given you little, but now I'm going to make you ruler over what is many. And the one who was afraid buried his talent, did nothing with it to invest it into the kingdom. And I quote to you, listen, Matthew, I'm going to give you the quote here. Listen what he says. Everyone who has more shall be given. In other words, oh, come on, somebody. Let me make this real simple. I'm trying to break this down to make this even more understandable. In the Gospels, you've heard of how Jesus fed the 5,000. Did you know that's not true? I'm going to say it again because some of you are stunned. We've heard that. Well, there's the miracle of the 5,000 that Jesus fed the 5,000 bread and fish. No. Go back. I challenge you. Go back and read it. Here's what the Bible says. He says, feed them for they're hungry. And they said, Lord, we don't have nothing to feed them. And he said, what do you have? And they said, we've got these 7 loaves and 2 fish. And he says, give them to me. So they give them to the Lord. And he holds them up, blesses the fish and the bread. And then your Bible says he distributes them back to the apostles, the disciples. So watch this. The Lord takes the bread and fish, blesses it, gives it to the disciples, and he tells them to distribute the food to the people that are in want. So that implies to, listen, everything that I have, the gifts, the talents, my money, my time, my energy, my resources, who has given me that? God. Why has he given me that? So that I can squander it, so that I can build my own platform, so that I can build my own name and get recognition to myself? No, so that you can take what he's given you to begin with, come on, and you can begin to distribute it to the kingdom to fulfill his mandate, to fulfill his purpose. Come on, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. So that's why I'm a firm believer in tithing and giving, because when I honor the Lord with the first fruits of my increase, then he tells me in his word, then my barns shall be filled with plenty and my vats shall burst forth with new wine. He says, give and it shall be given back unto you, good measured, pressed down, shaken together and running over. With the same measure that I meet, it shall be met back unto me. Not just money, guys, but in every talent and every gift that you've got. Listen, you want friends? Start sowing in friendship. You want joy in your life? Come on, start sowing joy. Start when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. But listen what he says. And here's the key. Listen, this is what's powerful. He said, everyone who has more shall be given to him. So the guy over here that's sowing into the kingdom of God, this guy that's reaching people with the gifts and with the talents that God has entrusted him with, you know what? God's going to keep pouring it out to him. God's going to take him to another level. God's going to increase that gift. He's going to keep sharpening that gift. He's going to keep growing and maturing that gift. He's going to add more talents and add more gifts to him. Why? Because he's continually advancing the kingdom. But listen what it says. But from him who does not have, and that's really a terrible translation of that. When you break it down, it really, what it's saying here is, but from him who does not do what the Lord's called him to do with the talents they've given, even what he has shall be taken away. In other words, the Lord will, listen, if you've been called to evangelize in your community and reach people with the gift that God's given you, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I know the Lord's called me to evangelize and reach the lost, but I don't want to do that because it pushes me out of my comfort zone, and I want to be popular with everybody around my neighborhood. I don't want people to think I'm some kind of a Jesus freak. I don't want people to think I'm some kind of a radical, and I just want everybody to like me, and I don't want to shake the boat and rock the boat, so I'm just going to set on my gift, and I'm just going to be an undercover Christian. Well, you know what will happen? God will just raise up somebody else in the same proximity that you're in. He'll raise somebody else up and tell them to go forward and do what he's called you to do. And guess what? They will get their reward and you will lose yours. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let me read on. Take even what he has away. And verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, brother, I'm saved by grace and faith and not of works. Yeah, but you know what I always say? Save people, work for the kingdom. You can stand on that. I'm saved by grace alone. But I stand on saved people work for the kingdom. Listen, I don't understand undercover Christianity. It makes no sense to me, because if you've really been touched by God and you've really been transformed by the glory of God and you've really been transformed in his presence and your life's been flipped upside down, then friends, you ain't got no way that you can contain it. When I read about the story about a man in the Gadarenes who was bound, who was possessed, and he was living among dead things and cutting himself day and night and screaming out in pain and anguish, when the Lord showed up and completely set him free and put him in his right mind, he pleaded to go with the Lord, and the Lord said, no, go back to the town in which you came in. Your Bible says that when he went back to the town, which everybody knew this man, when they saw that man in his right mind, the Bible says the whole city came to see the one who had set him free. What I'm trying to tell you, oh, come on, somebody, even the woman at the well, when she encountered a real prophet, encountered the Messiah, had an encounter with the Lord that turned her life upside down, she couldn't keep it to herself. She was so excited that she left her water pot and she ran to the city to tell everybody about this Jesus who knew everything about her. Listen, if you're an undercover Christian, I question whether you ever were touched by God, whether you ever had an encounter with God, because come on, the Bible says we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Come on, I can't keep it in on the inside of me. I got to let it out. So I'm telling you, I'm trying to tell you today, the saved people will want to work for the kingdom. And this leads me to my second mandate, and that is this. End time believers are going to be productive believers. They're going to be, listen, if we're in the 11th hour, which I believe we are, if we're closing in on the midnight hour, friends, this should be enough for you. This should be enough motivation for anybody. Come on, it's been called to do anything for the work of the kingdom. Listen, now's the time when we need to take the net and start reaching the lost. We need to start pulling in the fish. We need to start going into the lost house of the sheep. We need to start warning them. We need to start telling them the goodness of God. We need to start showing them the times and seasons in which we're in. There is no excuse, guys. Use the gifts and talents that you have. You say, well, brother, I don't know my calling. I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, listen, if you're born again and if you're saved, you may not know, you may not be able to quote five scriptures of the Bible. You may not be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You may not have any of the gifts of the Spirit right now. But listen, here's what you do have. You've got a testimony. You listen, there's a story about a man, a boy who was born blind in the Bible, and there was an argument between the religious Pharisees and Jesus, and they were arguing over who sinned. Was it the boy? Was his parents? Why is he blind? Somebody had to sin somewhere. And Jesus said, neither. He said, it was for this cause that the God of heaven may be glorified this day. And this boy was set free from his blindness. He was totally healed. And when the religious Pharisees came to him and questioned him, and they began to run him through the ringer, how could he be? They called him a sinner. They said, how could you receive your sight? They asked him, who healed you? And he says, I don't know. He said, all I know is I was once blind, but now I see. Come on. Some people need to see. Listen, you may not have degrees of theology. You may not know the consummation of the ages. You may not know theology. You may not know proper hermeneutics. You may not know all these things. But what you can say is, all I know is I was once bound, but now I'm free. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Use your testimony if that's all you got. But I'm trying to tell you, the second mandate in this hour for end time believers is, come on, God is raising up a productive body who is going ye into the highways and byways and compelling people to come into the house of the Lord. And they're using their gifts. They're using their talents. They're using their testimonies. They're using all that they got to get as many in the boat as they can. Come on, before the waters come. And then number three, we see the Lord shifts and he begins to talk about the Son of Man coming in his glory with the holy angels with him and separating the sheep from the goat. And I got to tell you guys, in these last days, God is separating the sheep from the goats. You're going to have to decide, do you want to be a sheep or do you want to be a goat? Do you want to be on the right or do you be on the left? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, when you get in the Word, you get in His presence. You don't need, listen, all you got to do is let some people talk, let the abundance of their heart begin to speak, and you'll figure out real quick whether they're on the left or whether they're on the right, whether they're a sheep or whether they're a goat. Come on, somebody. Whether they're a wheat or whether they're a tare. God is in the business in these end times. He's separating the sheep and he's separating the goats. God is tired of playing games. He's done with it. We're seeing that. I'm telling you, as we thrust long into this, but there's another part to this I want to show you real quick. And this really kind of ties in with the second mandate. Notice he goes in the sheep and the goats. One of the characteristics of the sheep that separates the sheep from the goats is the sheep have a heart for people. Oh, I want to say it again. One of the things that separates the sheep from the goats, and I'm going to say it like this, from real Christians and fake Christians, is real Christians have a heart of the Father and for the people. Well, show me that preacher in Matthew 25. Okay. Here's what he says. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. I was naked. You clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. Come on. Are you mindful of the world around you? Or has Christianity become all about you and how it can benefit you and how it can make you a better you and how it can be profitable to you and how it can make you rich and how it can make you famous and how it can make you popular and how it can make you a bigger social media network and get you as many followers as you can? Come on, are we prostituting the gospel or are we advancing the gospel? Are we looking out upon our neighbors and are we seeing the sick and seeing the hurting and seeing the poor and seeing the wretched and seeing the orphans and seeing the widows, and we're going about and we're reaching them with the hands of Jesus, with the mouth of Jesus, and we're seeing through the eyes of the Lord. Whew. Listen, here's what James said. The book of James 1:27 says this: pure an undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. You want to know what undefiled religion is? Listen, pure and undefiled religion versus world religion. World religion is hypocrisy. World religion is do as I say and don't do as I do. In other words, I can talk religious, I can act religious, and I can look religious, but am I bearing fruits? Am I helping people? Am I preaching the gospel to them? Am I leading them to the Lord? But he says there's a pure and undefiled religion, and you will know it, and it will be characterized by this. He says, listen to this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And, oh, we don't want to talk about this next one. See, I could stop with visiting the orphans and visiting the widows and visiting those in prison, and we could stop it and call it a day, and everybody would probably shout and amen and shout me down. But there's an and here. And it says, and pure and undefiled religion before God is this, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What does that mean, preacher? What it means is, listen, the only Jesus that people at your job sees is you. The only Jesus, your dysfunctional family. I can't believe you called my family dysfunctional. Listen, we all got dysfunctional families. Every one of us. I don't care who you are. You ain't got a perfect family. There's dysfunction in your family. And you are probably or could be the only Jesus that they will ever see. So we could go on and on and on. Everywhere you go, the Jesus that they're looking for is going to be found in you. So the question is, what are you displaying? Are you giving them a worldly hypocritical religion that's stained with do's, don'ts, and burdens? You know, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and he called them a bunch of hypocrites and vipers. He said, you'll travel land and sea to make one convert and make them more of the son of a devil than you are. And you will weigh them down with burdens and duties in which you won't even lift a finger to do yourself. But Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, come on, somebody. What are we doing in these end times? Are we displaying the love of God? And the love of God visits orphans, visits the widows in a time of trouble. And come on, I could go into 1 John and talks about he that loves me keeps my commandments, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Come on, the reason why many people are not coming to the Lord, coming to your church, they're not hungry for the word, they're not hungry for an encounter with God, is because the only Jesus that they are seeing and experiencing is a lukewarm, hypocritical Jesus. Paul talks about another Jesus. Which Jesus are we showing them? I know this is a tough word. So number one, you got to keep the oil in the lamp. Got to keep the fire burning. That's if we're going to survive in these end times, three mandates. One, keep the oil and the fire burning. Number two is saved believers are working for the kingdom. You are taking the talents, you're taking the gifts, you're taking the call that God gave you, and you are investing it into the kingdom. And lastly, are you loving people? Are you loving people as Jesus loved you? What do you mean by "as Jesus loved me"? Listen, did you know the Bible says that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Do you know the Bible says that he that's been forgiven much loves much? Do you know the Bible says that loving kindness leads us unto repentance? What if, and I challenge you, I'm going to close with this, guys, real quick, with this thought today on this broadcast. What if we got into our devotional, our private time with God, and we begin to say, "God, I want you to empty out of me everything that's worldly, everything that's hypocritical, everything that is not of the Father. Take it out of me and put in me the love of you, the agape love. Lord, let my eyes begin to be open to see people through the lens of the Holy Spirit so that I don't see somebody's attitude. I don't see somebody's argumentative personality. I don't see their skin color. I don't see their organization. I don't see their denomination. I don't see this and I don't see that. But what I see through the lens of the Holy Spirit is a broken man, a broken woman, someone who's been molested, someone who's been rejected, someone who's been hurt, someone who's been abandoned, someone who's about to throw in the towel. Someone who's about to give up and call it quits. They're not having a bad day. They're broken and they need, come on, somebody to come along with the power of the Holy Spirit, not to necessarily rebuke them, but to come along and love them with the love of God and allow the Spirit of God to begin to be poured into them so that the walls can come down, the heart can become softened again, and that they begin to open their eyes and see that there is a God in heaven that is alive and well today. Come on, somebody. Do you believe that? That's what I believe. Come on, that's my prayer for me today. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to make my prayer. Father, let me just pray for you guys real quick, and then we're going to make some announcements. I'm going to pray according to all three of these right now. So if you want to receive this today, I pray that you would receive this. Father, I thank you for this word today, and I'm asking, Lord, but everyone under the sound of my voice, God, that, Lord, we would fill ourselves with you, that we would keep our oil full, that we keep those lamps full of oil, that we would stay on fire. Lord, if we've got to put some praise and worship on, get lost in your presence, stoke those flames in our devotional time through the reading of the word, through the hearing and preaching and teaching of the word, whatever we got to do to just fan that flame and keep that fire and that flame burning our devotional life. God, I'm praying that we do that today and we do that in this hour so that we are watchful, that we're ready, and that we're prepared for the coming of the Son of Man. And Lord, I pray that, Father, if there be anybody under the sound of my voice today, Lord, and you've given them gifts and you've given them talents and you've given them abilities to use for your kingdom, but because of fear or reputation or pride or whatever it is that's keeping them and preventing them from going forward and advancing your kingdom with those gifts and with those talents, Lord, I pray that, Father, that you would convict them today, and that they would begin to step out and do what you've called them to do with the gifts and talents that you've called them to do. And Lord, last but not least, God, I'm asking that, Father, that you would begin to pour out into our hearts a compassion and a love of the Father in our hearts, that we would visit the orphans, visit the widows, visit those in prison, give food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. Lord, those that are naked, that we'd clothe them, that we would go about. Lord, you said in your word that you went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You said in your word that those who claim to be of you should walk as you walked. And you, and James said by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that true and undefiled religion is to do these things and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I pray that, Father, that you would increase and that we would decrease. And that, Lord, if there be anything in us that is hindering us from doing what we're talking about today, I pray that you would remove it, take it out of us, and fill us to a full today with your Spirit and with your love, so that we can fulfill that which you've called us to do. For you said even in your word to repent and come back and go back and do your first works and come back to your first love. And we thank you for that today. And we praise you today, Jesus. We thank you. And Lord, we receive this. We walk it out today the best that we can. And we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys. Again, we thank you for jumping on here today, being part of this broadcast. I want to, again, give you some information. Again, it's imperative, guys, that you especially you guys on Facebook Live watching this, you need to go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, bookmark the site, but get it bookmarked so you can go directly to it, so you can get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. If you, if you're watching by podcast or listening by podcast, watching by YouTube or whatever other platform you may be watching this, if you do not have the app yet, you need to download the official ETH app. It's available on Apple iTunes and Android on the Play Store. Get it, download it. It's free. You're going to get all the news and headlines. You're going to get notifications. You're going to get alerts. You're going to see the podcast and the YouTube channel at the bottom so that you can watch or listen. All that's going to be there at your fingertips. Again, we have free podcasts available for ETH coming soon. We will have one. It will be called Remnant Revival. It's going to be for Remnant Revival Ministries as well, which is the equipping and teaching arm of our ministry. But both of these will be available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. ETH is already available. Again, RRM or Remnant Revival Ministries will be available soon. We'll be announcing that. If you've not subscribed to our podcast, I want to encourage you to do that. If you've not followed or went to our website for Remnant Revival, I want you to go ahead and do that. Remnant Revival Ministries. That's you can find us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. You can find us at Remnant Revival Ministries. And of course, the website for that is remnantrevival.org. Guys, listen, there's devotionals on there. There's messages like this on there. There's all kinds of information on there on that website as well. It's another branch of our ministry. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry, which is, again, one tree, two branches. If it's either RRM or ETH, whatever branch or both, if they bless you, encourage you, equip you, edify you, and inform you, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry a gift of any amount, whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, or you can become a monthly partner. You can partner with us and help us to advance the gospel on all these platforms and everything that we're doing to help us to do this. And this is how we're able to do this free. The YouTube channel is free. Podcast is free. The app is free. All that is free. We do that by the generous support of people just like you. You could do that by going to our app store, going all the way to the bottom to the right. Click on the place that says donate. You can give electronically. You guys on the listening by YouTube or podcast, you can go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You're going to see places where you can donate. And you can give by check or money order at End Time Headlines P.O. Box 1391. And that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, that's going to be our physical mailing address. So again, as always, guys, we appreciate you coming on here today, taking the time to hear the message today, and I pray that it's been a great blessing to you. Please share this with anybody that you believe it would be a blessing for them to hear it, or so that they can receive the word. And we're going to sign off for today, guys, and we'll be back on here on Friday with another, either a prophetic update if we've got something we need to feel like we need to talk about, discuss, or we'll give another encouraging, equipping word. And before we go, I do want to say this because I know some people are confused on this. Eventually, not now, but eventually these messages, like not so much this one, because this one falls in the category of ETH because it's a prophetic message, but messages like we did on Monday that are just general equipping messages, they were not going to be found on the ETH YouTube channel, but they'll be found on Remnant Revival YouTube channel. So we have a YouTube channel, Remnant Revival Ministries. Go find that YouTube. But for now, because everybody's not used to the transition, we're kind of putting the messages on both to build up the channel. But eventually, when everybody's got this down and they understand this, then you're going to know where to find these. So these prophetic messages, you won't find them on RRM, but you will find them on ETH. So this makes it easier for people to look for certain things and distinct the different functions of the ministry as it operates. So anyway, love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you on Friday. Thank you.